I'm Dr. Florence Comite, endocrinologist and founder of Comite Center for Precision Medicine in New York City. You can find me on Instagram, social media, at ComiteMD. My bestseller, Keep It Up, is available on Amazon.
Dr. Comite, people complain about not getting enough sleep. What have you found in your practice? What do people tell you about sleep?
Yes, I think sleep, far bigger problem than even weight, than people seem to struggle with as well. And what most of us don't know is that sleep is critically important, not just to feeling good and not getting cranky, but staying healthy. In fact, when you don't sleep enough, obesity, heart disease, high blood pressure, even death occurs earlier in those folks who can't get a good night's sleep.
You are a precision medicine doctor. Is it true that different people need different amounts of sleep, or are they just kidding themselves?
No, it is absolutely true. We're all unique. And the way we work at the center is directing our information to the preciseness of each person's makeup.
Right.
Many clinical studies have shown that one needs 7 to 9 hours of quality sleep in order for the body to repair itself. Some folks may need slightly less or more, but in general, getting at least 7 hours is really strongly recommended. And a lot of folks think they get more sleep than they actually do, and they, you know, so that is an issue as well.
I've always meant to ask you about this. Should we be adjusting the amounts of sleep we get depending on what is going on in our lives? Not only illness, but if we're under a lot of stress or if there's a big change in our lives?
That's actually a very complex question and very critical, because there was recently a study that showed that it's far better to get the kind of sleep on a regular basis. And one of the issues that leads to sleep, poor sleep, is changing the hours you sleep. So partying it up, for example, on weekends versus, you know, the steady sleep we try to get during the week. And young people suffering with a social jet lag, meaning they lose time and they shift their body clock because they go to bed much later on weekends than during the week. This, I think, was recently published in the Fitbit data, where they looked at 6 billion nights of sleep. And they're crunching this data, which is fascinating. That said, the reason I mention that your question is quite intricate and complex is that the answer is yes. When you're ill, when you come down with a cold or flu or bacterial infection, or you're under stress because of somebody in your family is sick and you're dealing with a lot on your plate, getting good quality sleep, meaning you get sufficient hours and also you go through the stages of sleep where there's deep sleep connected to REM sleep, the period of time we dream, and light sleep, those three stages. And you're also actually awake intermittently during the night. You might not realize it, but you are. That kind of sleep is essential to reset and repair and restore your immune system and protect your own health. So when lots is swirling around in life, you should prepare better. You should look ahead and say, you know, I'm going to take off early this night and shut everything down, and instead of getting to bed maybe at your usual 11 o'clock, you get into bed at 10. Mm-hmm. And that would be a very wise thing to do. And you feel, some folks actually feel they could pack up sleep, meaning they can sleep extra and it'll help them out. I'm one of those that believe that's possible, but not for everybody.
Do we need more or less sleep as we age? You hear often about how the elderly can't sleep.
So I think that comes, the elderly, when they can't sleep, and others who can, it's not just the elderly who's afflicted with poor sleep.
No, I hear you, yeah.
Yeah, it's because usually there's lots of interference. There's the social life, or what we're now calling social jet lag. There's alcohol. There's other interferences, working on your iPhone or cell phone or even watching TV, and you get blue light, which interferes with the brain. The other part of it for the elderly is that the pineal gland, which is in the brain, also isn't always activated in the right way, and the light, the dark light cycle changes. So melatonin has been shown to be very useful to regulate sleep over time. Mm-hmm. And other supplements can help with sleep as well, like valerian. has been useful, particularly in restless leg syndrome. So the elderly have to find innovative ways to take care of themselves and get more sleep, and hopefully without sleeping pills, which disturb sleep because they're not true psychologically, physiologically sound sleep. They kind of put you into this twilight zone and you think you've slept, but it's not great quality sleep, and they can have other side effects, like getting up in the middle of the night and eating, and you don't know that you're doing that.
Ugh. The tech world has seemingly discovered sleep now, with so many gadgets aimed at helping us adjust. Any that you like to use?
Yes. So there's a few gadgets, and I'm a gadget person.
Yes, you are.
That I absolutely love, and in fact, we've been using it at our center for a number of years now. My favorite, just because I've been using it for a long time, ever since I broke my shoulder, and that disrupted my sleep. Otherwise, I don't allow things to disrupt the quality of sleep. I may not sleep enough hours, and there are tricks to that. You know, there are peptides and other kind of agents that can help you get great quality of sleep in a shorter period of time. Again, remains to be studied. But there's an app called Sleep Cycle. And the look of it is an old-fashioned alarm clock against in white, outlined in white on an orange background. And it has it analyzes your sleep based on movement and a lot of times even noise, like snoring and periods of being awake. And it can also really be helpful because it awakens you in the proper way, meaning you set your alarm and within a certain period of time around it, usually 30 minutes, it can detect when you're in the lightest stage, and that's the best time to actually wake up. And an old-fashioned alarm clock can't really do that. So the trick is you have to have it near you when you're sleeping, on the nightstand, plugged in, face down. And even if your phone is shut off, it will go off to wake you. And now there are even newer wearables made by other companies that will attach to your bed almost like a liner. And it's really a fascinating way to monitor sleep. We have some folks testing that out where they detect your entire body. So there's one by Apple called Beddit, BEDDIT, and another one by Nokia Health, which used to be Whiting's, and I use a lot of their gadgets. And it's a thin mattress-like pad that looks at additional metrics, not just movement, but also temperature and whether you snore while you sleep. And that kind of data accumulated over time allows us at the center as precisionists to interpret the variables that may be interfering. I do have a fascinating story about a recent gentleman, a lovely man who commutes in, possibly you still commute further, but he's from Princeton and he commutes in every day to work in New York, and he's doing fabulously. In fact, he recently told me that after starting to work with us in the last few months, he is about 48, 49, and he feels like he's 40, 42 now. And he's changed his entire body dynamics because we're monitoring many aspects of his health because he's so eager to regain his strength and energy and sense of joie de vivre that he felt like was declining. So we gave him a sleep wearable, which I spoke about on an earlier show. It's made by, it's called Free Libra by Abbott. And they're coming out with them this year over the counter, not over the counter, by prescription, where you can actually monitor it yourself. Mm-hmm. We have it so that you pop into the office because you wear it on your arm. It's actually plugged in to the bicep. It's a needle, but it's not like a pointy, sharp needle. It kind of inserts itself into what we call the interstitial or underlying tissue of the surface of the skin, and it's this white little disc. And the only folks that have a little trouble with it is women who want to wear sleeveless and don't want it to show. He reported, and he was monitoring his food because we also use MyFitnessPal, and he was reporting back to us that there were a few nights where he went off the wagon and he ate like a deep dish of ice cream sundae. And what happened to him is he woke up in the middle of the night crave and hungry. And what we figured out, because we're able to detect this looking at all the wearables, the sleep data, the glucose monitoring data, is that Your sugar goes up when you have a high carb, a carb that's not good for you, like ice cream, like anything white, you know, cake, cookies, stuff with flour, you know, white flour. And he had shot up his insulin, his sugar, and subsequently to shooting up the sugar in his system, the insulin goes up very high.
Yeah.
And when your insulin goes up very high, it sends out a signal that you're hungry. You know how a lot of folks can feel jittery after a morning breakfast of a banana and a bran muffin? At 10 o'clock, you're ready for, a donut and a cup of coffee because you don't have any protein in your system. So we encouraged him to try to switch to yogurt or ice cream, like Halo ice cream that has protein in it. And or take something with protein, like a handful of nuts, so that it would keep a more even distribution and his body would stay asleep. But the more important aspect of this story for him and for all of us is that there are critical hormones that get released at night. And when you go to bed, and right before you go to bed, you have that delicious bowl of ice cream or something that's sweet and delicious because you think it's going to top off your night, and you hop into bed before 2 hours, you are actually going to be triggering hormones like cortisol and others that put on weight. And that's the link, likely, to why you get heart disease, obesity, high blood pressure as well. When you're not sleeping well and you go to sleep with a tummy full of high-carb food that isn't good for you, it disturbs the patterns. And it was so clear-cut in this gentleman. It was fascinating.
Wow. What a story. So in wrapping up our interview on sleep, what do you suggest for someone if they are sort of getting the right amount of sleep, but they could probably do better? What should they do?
Well, first, I think that looking at the life you live and figuring out, is it doable? Like, some of us travel a lot or have very long hours. So we have to actually readjust our expectations and be realistic about it. And when you do get quality sleep, your ability to work, focus, and concentrate are going to increase when you're not concerned about your health and how fatigued you are or nodding off in the middle of the day. Lighten up on the alcohol late at night as well as the high carbs. And try to, the quality of your sleep is really important. So waking up often because alcohol and carbohydrates, as I just pointed out in this story, will lead to fragmented sleep. Considering sleeping pills is, a certain, way to transition. And sometimes if a person is unable to sleep at all, using sleeping pills for a short period of time to help regulate the body in terms of time can be useful. Other folks have felt that cognitive behavior, where you move, the TV and all the toys and gadgets out of the bedroom and use the bedroom for quiet, restorative time, read a real book instead of a Kindle, lay in bed quietly listening to music that's reassuring, meditate 30 minutes before you go to sleep, or even an hour where you can let go of the day. And so, as well as melatonin, that can help, and you have to start with a baby dose, like less, like a milligram.
Yeah.
But there are some folks who even take 20, 30, and 50 milligrams, because not only does it regulate your brain and the pineal body in your brain that regulates sleep and light and dark, but it actually is a fabulous antioxidant. So it will regulate your internal clock and also get you healthy over time. So those are the different ways of coping with it. I think the most important is trying to keep a regular schedule. Waking up at the same time, if you can, every day is really important in regulating the internal clock we have, as well as what's built in the circadian rhythm. Of course, you've heard exercising, hydrating, and eating, a healthy diet for you specifically, precisely, which may be different than for your sister, brother, or best friend, is important to maintain energy and feel good throughout, along with sleep.